It is always an honor and a privilege to be in God's house, to be with His children. And I am mightily blessed every day of my life. The past year or so, my heart has become so crowded, so crowded. And the love that is in my heart is just unbelievable for each and every one of you. I think of you every day of how blessed me and my family have been because of you and your faith in God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I thank God for it. We were here last night and heard some good preaching from some able men. And as I look out tonight, and as I look while we were in the fellowship, Paul, I see children of God of all ages. Of all ages. And that's such a blessing. I see the future of the church sitting out in God's house. And as I left last night, I was impressed by God of how we need to be better teachers to those that are coming up among us. How we need to teach mightily our children and our grandchildren. I see mothers and fathers. I see grandmothers and grandfathers. I see future mothers and future fathers. And brothers and sisters, it is so important that we teach our children. Because we know well that there are other people that have a desire to teach our children. Yeah. Teach our children the things that are not in this book, in the Word of God. And I saw a video on television not long ago that really just drove it home what we were facing today in this world. And the men last night that stood talked about some of those things. But I saw a video of Eric Holder, the United States Attorney General, back in 2008. And he was talking about, and I'm not going to get political, I just want to get this out of the way. He was talking about the Second Amendment and about other things. And he said, how do we get our point across? How do we get what we want in this country? And the man actually used the word, we brainwash the children. Do we need to teach, or do we need to teach in today's society, in our church, more than we ever have before? Because there's a lot at stake. A lot at stake. Brothers and sisters, my desire and hope is that when my granddaughter, who's 13 months old, grows up, she will have a church to call home, an ark to come to for rest and peace and joy. And it's up to us. It's up to us. Their futures, even those that have not been born, are in our hands. It's up to us. Bowling Springs, I know, has been in existence for 175 years. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. This church and other churches because of that great cloud of witnesses that have went on who taught, and they taught well. Paul said in 12:1, he said, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, teach well. Teach well our children. Teach them God's word. And if they're in the public school system, when they come home from school, if you've not been down there like I was when mine was going to school, I stayed at school. So much that the girls stopped telling Daddy what went on at school, and they would tell Mama because they didn't want Daddy going back to school. That's the way we all should be. Know what your children are doing. Know what they are being taught, because a lot rides on their future. And when they come home, you teach them this in place of what they were taught at school. And I'm not talking about writing and arithmetic and reading. I'm talking about what they're taught at school. I read a few days ago. I always read in the mornings before I go to work. Try to. Current events. And I read a story about a young man who was graduating high school, and he had been picked to give the speech. And while he was standing there, the article said that he came out. And it said the entire school stood up and applauded. We need to be teaching. We need to be teaching. Above all else, teach love and compassion. But teach, thus saith the word of God. In Acts chapter 16, I want to go there for just a moment. We have the story of Paul and Silas. I know most are probably familiar with it. I'm going to pick up in verse 16 and I'm going to read a few verses. Chapter 16, verse 16, and this is concerning Paul and Silas. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. I think we can say there was some teaching going on. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. I want you to look at this next verse. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Didn't only put them in jail, but put them in the inner jail, the top security place, so that they couldn't teach what they had been teaching. I seen last night over in Iran a Christian pastor. And I prayed when I saw it. The broadcast that I saw said they don't know where he's at. He's missing. Because he was preaching Jesus Christ. I pray for that man's family. And I thank God for the boldness that he showed for Christ. That he is showing for Christ. That's the way we need to teach. Fearless with boldness. And sometimes I know that as we travel in this life, as Brother Marty pointed out, we walk in some deep valleys sometimes. Some dark places. Some cold places. And this is likened to where Paul and Silas was. They was in the inner part of the jail where no sunlight ever reached that place. Dark, cold, damp, musty, wretched. Probably really indescribable, the conditions that were there. But what did Paul and Silas do? Did they start shouting, "Woe is me? Lord, I'm going to die. I'm begging you to let me go. We won't say anything else. We'll just leave if you let us out." No. In that place, Paul and Silas talked. They talked. Teach well. I beseech thee, teach well. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And their prisoners heard them. Boy, they were teaching a mighty message. A mighty message. And how shocked those people must have been when they heard Paul and Silas singing praises to their God and praying. Have these people gone crazy? What are they doing? Most men cry when we throw them in there and put them fast in stocks. But what is it we hear these men doing? Wow. Every trial, every tribulation, every valley that we traverse in this life, brothers and sisters, can I tell you that it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to teach those around you. To teach those around you that you believe what you believe. Wow. What an opportunity we all have from time to time. When we're going through those valleys, do we wallow in self-pity? I'm guilty of that from time to time, I admit. Missed opportunities to teach. Lord, forgive me. But can you teach like Paul and Silas did? What a mighty message they taught. And what that message wrought later. Wow. Wow. And suddenly in verse 26, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." What a powerful message. What trust they have in God. The doors are open, but they didn't flee. This brother mentioned before I stepped up, Psalms 37. Fret not thyself. That's what Paul and Silas was doing. They weren't fretting. They didn't have anything to worry about. Because they believed what they believed, and they knew that no matter what, God was with them. Whether they lived or whether they died, they were prepared to praise and sing praises to God. We witnessed some miracles last week. Brother James Brooks, Brother Lanier Pruitt at Shoal Creek. Can I say I'm just a little envious? Their home. And what did they leave behind? What they taught is what will be remembered. What they taught. What will we leave behind as we go into tomorrow's, as we traverse those valleys and trials and tribulations that will come? What are the memories that our children will take with them the rest of their lives about mommy and daddy, about grandma and grandpa? How when they were walking in those valleys, they praised God. Or how they turned from God and become depressed and nothing but despair around the house. Till they got tired and come to themselves and prayed that prayer, Brother Marty, that Samson prayed. Lord, remember me. Remember me. Wow. Turn to Psalms 145. I don't know what Paul and Silas was singing, the song. But I know it must have been beautiful and awesome because it inspired that jailer. If you read on down in Acts, because of what Paul and Silas taught, that jailer and his family was baptized. Wow. What a message. What a message. They believed what they believed. And they taught it through their actions. Brother Marty, you hit something before I get there. This morning when I went to work, I clocked in about 15 to 6. And there's a couple of two or three men there that have a combination to a safe that I have to get into every morning. And takes about 60 seconds to open this safe. It's got a combination on each side. And, of course, I wasn't feeling so good this morning. It was early. And I caught this gentleman at the time clock, and I said, "Can you open up for me?" He said, "Well, I'm really busy this morning." He said, "I'm just getting here, too, and I got a lot to do." And I said, "Well, if you ain't got a minute to open this safe, that's okay. You go do your work." And I walked in the accounting room and closed the door. And just as soon as the door shut, I said, "My tongue gets me in trouble." Knock, knock, knock on the door. So I go spy the peephole, and it's this brother. And I opened it, and he said, "Man, what's with the toad?" I said, "I don't have a toad. All I wanted of you was 60 seconds, and you couldn't give it to me." And I slammed the door. And I looked back through the peephole to see what he was doing. He just turned around and walked off. So I finally got the safe opened and got everything prepared to start the day. And I couldn't start. Flesh done got me. So I walked out of that accounting room and I searched that store over twice and finally found that brother. And I walked up to him and I said, "Brother, so I want to apologize to you. I had no right to do that to you. And I seen something in him that I had never seen before." His eyes teared up and I seen love in that man's heart. Seen astonishment in his eyes. I said, "I'm sorry." And he said, "No, Robert, I'm sorry. It only takes 60 seconds to open that safe. I could have given you that." And I said, "I love you, brother." And he said, "I love you too, Robert." And we parted friends. I didn't teach such a good lesson that morning. But when we met, we both taught. And we taught well. We taught love and peace and joy. Ain't God good? I had a wonderful day today. Wonderful. God blessed me today tremendously. And I know I'm rambling, but another feller come in the store. He's a regular. And me and him got to talking about how good God was. And we stood there for probably 5 or 10 minutes, and I noticed the manager was watching me. I said, "Brother, I got to quit." I said, "If I don't, I'm going to start preaching, and then I'm really going to get in trouble." God's good. God's good. Psalms 145. Now I want you to listen to this. This is a psalm of praise. And perhaps this was what Paul and Silas was singing. We don't know. We know they were singing praises to God. "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Wow. Listen to this verse. "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." We have a lot to teach. We have a lifetime of teaching. And we need to teach well. And we need to keep our eyes on the cross, on Jesus Christ. He's our friend. And he has called us friend. No greater friend can we have save our Lord and Master Jesus. I've heard three phrases in the past 12 months. And they come from mighty teachers. They give mighty messages. One phrase I heard during the association meeting, which probably most of you were there, some of you were there, and I done forgot the elder's name that was preaching. But I believe he was talking about worshiping and in the manner that we should worship. And that sometimes we quench the Spirit of God. And one sister spoke out and said, "It doesn't matter. It don't matter what man thinks of you. What does matter is what God thinks and what you're teaching. That's what matters. It doesn't matter." A few weeks ago in Bible study, we started the year out asking everybody to give testimony of how God had blessed them in the past year. And one of the sisters again. Thank God for our sisters. Amen. Amen. Thank God for our sisters. But it stuck in my mind and in my heart. We'd listened to several testimonies, all of them sweet and precious. And when it come this sister's time to begin, tears started rolling down her face. And she simply said, "I have a friend." Wow, that hit me like a ton of bricks. All the testimonies that we had heard, marvelous testimonies of God's tremendous blessings. And she started out, "I have a friend." That stuck and burned in my mind. It doesn't matter. I have a friend. And I heard another phrase, teaching phrase, that again come from a sister. Powerful messages. Thank God for our sisters. She started out, she simply said, "I will defend my church." Wow. You could preach all day and all night on that. "I will defend my church. I will be in constant prayer for my brothers and sisters. That God will uphold them. That He will continue to bless them. That He will give them what they stand in need of. That He will lead, guide, and direct them." Wow, powerful, powerful messages from our sisters, from mothers, from grandmothers. God is certainly good. And I've got to get out of this brother's way. I want to read you something. And you know, I've heard many times, not of late, you know, when a preacher stands up and he's about to read 7 or 8 verses out of the Bible, he apologizes for it. "Well, I'm going to read these, but I'll get through them quick. I'm fixing to read about 7 or 8, maybe 9. And it's the Word of God. And we need to hear it every day. Not just during meetings like this or on Sunday or during Bible study, but every day. And whose responsibility is that? Ours. Ours. Our responsibility. You know, I want Abby, years from now, to remember at Grandma and Grandpa's house that they read the Bible to her. Wouldn't that be a wonderful, precious memory for her to carry with her later in years? Whose responsibility is that? It's mine. It's mine. I pray that all of us here tonight teach well. Teach well. That is my prayer. In John chapter 17, our blessed Savior gives these words, and I'll start in verse 8. "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. What powerful, mighty words. To know and to understand that Jesus is praying for me. How precious are these words to all of us. What did he tell Peter? He said, I'm praying for you, Peter, that thy faith fail not. And if Christ is praying for us that our faith fail not, then what excuse do we have? None. None. How powerful. How powerful. What precious words our Master has given us to fill our minds with in our hearts. I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, teach well. Teach well. A lot of futures are in your hands. Teach God. Teach His love. God bless you.